Blog
it's
Talk
February.
Radio.
It's February 13, a day right before Valentine's Day. But there's nothing lovely about tonight's show because we have an impactful show featuring none other than the Glory Tournament winner, the middleweight winner, Mike Lemaire. He'll be on the show in just a few minutes, followed by wrestling coach. The wrestling community has been in an uproar after the Olympics have banned wrestling from the 2020 Olympics. So Coach Corey Ruff will be on the Roman show telling us his thoughts on why they did this and what needs to be done by the MMA community and wrestling community, followed by UFC fighter Brian Carraway. He is getting ready for his UFC fight March 2nd in Japan against Hikaya Mizugaki. Also, XFC fighters Dewan Owens and co-main eventer for that XFC show, Joseph Cornaroli, followed by CFA fighters Ashley Evans-Smith and Kelsey DeSantis, all right here tonight on The Roman Show. Call in. We want to hear your opinion on what you thought about what the Olympics did. Call in, 714-868-0222, the number 714-868-0222, the number. We want to hear from you. Are you upset that the Olympics are banning wrestling? We want to hear from you. You could also tweet us at Roman EH. Let's start it right now.
You're about to listen to the Roman Show. The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Hey, this is Nellie from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
Check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolfoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show.
We'll be right back.
Roman Show back at it again on February 13th, just a day before Valentine's Day. Jeremy, you got your flowers already or not yet?
No, man, I don't have a Valentine's, man. I'm married to MMA.
There you go. You'll get the flowers for Mixed Martial Arts. And, guys, yeah, I want to start off the show by the uproar that has been happening right now on the Internet from pro wrestling, from MMA, from collegiate wrestling. Everyone is upset what happened with the Olympic decision of banning the sport come the Olympics of 2020. Everyone is upset. Everyone's even using the hashtag at Twitter, Save Olympic Wrestling hashtag. And it's all over Twitter, and we want to hear from you guys. You can call in 714-868-0222 is the number, and you can also tweet us live. We'll read your tweets live on the air at RomanDH. We want you to participate because everyone is upset. You know, I had a guest last night who's actually a professional wrestler, but he had a good point. He did have a good point, Guillermo, and I don't know if you have to agree in this before we bring in our first guest who just won the Glory Tournament this past weekend. But this gentleman, Steve Corino, who wrestled in ECW, he stated, you know, this actually might be a good thing for wrestling because just like baseball was taken out of the Olympics and they created their own World Series of the World Baseball Classic, the world, pretty much like a World Cup of baseball, they can do the same for wrestling and they can go ahead and build that audience. I don't know what you feel about that, Guillermo, but that's just an idea that was thrown at me and I said, you know what, that doesn't sound pretty bad. You can still have that niche.
I don't completely agree with that, though, because baseball is only played in so many countries in the world, whereas wrestling is everywhere. Whether it be in different forms, whether you call it judo, whether you call it sumo wrestling, in some form, you know, two men or two women just grappling to get the upper hand on each other through their natural strength is around in every single country. It's the most, you know, primitive martial art, if you want to call it, in the world. It's existed for thousands of years before all these other martial arts existed. Baseball is only popular in Japan, the U.S., some Central and South American countries, and that's pretty much it. I mean, it's not all over the world, so you can't compare the two. I don't agree with that. Plus, the wrestling is one of the first two sports that came about in the original Olympics thousands of years ago,
right.
And it's been around in every single modern Olympics since then. So, I mean, how can you exclude it from the Olympics? I mean, it and just basic running were the ones that carried over for, you know, from the old Olympics to the modern Olympics. And if you get rid of this, what, just running will be the only thing that's left over from the original Olympics. It's just not right. And there's so many countries out there that they just train all their athletes to be great wrestlers. And now these guys are going to get left empty-handed with no serious goals apart from their national championship or what have you. I mean,
yeah.
It's just not right.
Yeah. Well, we'll be talking about that all throughout here, the night here in the Roman Show. In fact, our guests will be asked a question of what are your thoughts. We'd love to hear from them. But I want you guys to call in 714-868-0222. Understand we have some folks listening all the way in California up in the West Coast. Shout out to them. Let's bring in our first guest, Mike Demir, who was victorious in the Glory Tournament. Mike, welcome to the Roman Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Good to have you. Thank you. I'm good.
No,
how are you?
Thank you. Thank you. Good, thank you, and congratulations on your victory over the weekend. Now you're $20,000 richer now, but it was tough competition. Tell us about this, Mike. Tell us about your tournament and your experience here at Glory. And, you know, I read a comment there. It wasn't about the cash. It was more about the contract with Glory.
Absolutely. For me, it was before the fight. I mean, money is money, like I said. I mean, you know, this is why they do this. It was really for the contract, you know. It was just an honor to, you know, to fight for Glory now. And, you know, in my mind, it was always about that contract, so.
And now tell me about the competition you had. You had some fierce competition there. It wasn't an easy walk in the park for you.
Not at all. You know, a lot of respect, you know, to all the fighters that competed that weekend. You know, we all went through a lot. The first fight, I got an early, you know, knockout in the second round, so I didn't get hurt or anything in that fight. The second fight was a battle. You know, I got actually knocked down in the first round and by a head kick, and you know, I caught clean behind the head, so I fell down and I got up right away. And in my mind, I knew that, you know, this was going to be a 10-8 round, so I knew what I, you know, win the next two rounds in order to even win the fight, or even to get a draw. So that's what we did, and then we went to a survival round, which was just a war back and forth. This guy, Andy Capo, he was really, really, really tough. It was fun. Good fight. Fun time.
Absolutely. We were speaking to undefeated Mike Lemire, who just was victorious in the Glory USA Middleweight Championship over the weekend. Congratulations to him, as we have him right now on the line. Now, Mike, before this, you were actually had some we're in mixed martial arts. So what made you decide here to go into kickboxing and start from the sport?
So, long story short, when I moved from France to the States, I started, training in Muay Thai, kickboxing, and I've always been a striker. But it was, it was harder for me to find shows. I just didn't have the right people to direct me, as far as a kickboxing career. A manager approached me and asked me to do MMA. And, I was young. I was 21 years old, I believe. And I had no experience in jiu-jitsu or wrestling whatsoever. I just took a fight. 2 weeks later, I was fighting in the cage. And, I had no business in the cage with my mixed martial arts, at that point of my career. So, God bless. I found my coach right here 2 years ago, Nacho Minor. We crossed paths, and then, I've been training with them since then, and undefeated still to this day.
One thing, Mike, that I congratulate you on and applaud you for is the fact that you were in this tournament. Not many people could do that. You fight three fights in one night, and there's other tournaments you can fight four or five fights, and the amount of hits you can take. Luckily for you, it was not until the last fight that you went to the third round, but how much of a toll can your body take in a tournament? And when you have that last fight, make it the championship round, what is it that you use to motivate yourself? Just one more to go. What do you tell yourself?
Well, at that point, like you said, it's just mental. After the second fight, my body was just shutting down a lot. So it was just a matter of time. The longer I waited, the more my body would, shut down and started cramp up, and then my legs would beat up. So at that point, my coach told me, "Hey, Mike, this is, you work hard for this. You ready? At this point, it's just good times. Go out there, have fun, do what you do best, and whatever happens, he supports me, and you got all the support, from the fans, from people from my gym. So, I went in there really confident, thinking that, this is just one fight, one more fight. It's only 3 minutes, three rounds. So in my mind, I had nothing to lose, and then everything to gain. And that's it. I just went. I fought smart. I was composed. I felt good. I felt great. No pain. Like, at that point, there was no more pain in my body. All I wanted to do was just win the fight.
Guillermo? Yeah, now, Mike, is your plan to just stick with kickboxing from now on, or do you expect to maybe try MMA once again sometime in the future?
You never say never. Right now, all I really want to do is kickboxing, that's for sure, at least for a few more years. I want to just stick to a Muay Thai and kickboxing as much as I can, as long as I can, and then eventually maybe, down the road in a couple of years, maybe why not go back to MMA? I'm not against it, but I want to do everything I can to promote the sport of kickboxing here in the States and around the world. So that's my mission.
Now, Mike, you've just fought a tournament, like you said. Is Glory just going to be putting you on one fight a night now, or is there going to be other tournaments that you could be in? How's that going to work?
This is all in the making right now. Me and my manager, we're all talking about this. I'm not sure yet, so, I can't give you that info just right now, this moment. But I'm sure what is going to happen is they'll probably put me in a single fight. You're probably on the card or on a big show. Probably not part of a tournament right away. Just one fight, I believe. But we'll see.
Now, when do you expect to fight again?
What do I expect to fight again?
Yeah.
If it's my choice, I'm ready next month or maybe in 2 months. I have no idea. This is up to Glory now. So I'll just wait and be ready, you know? That's all I can do right now. I'm really excited, though. I'll tell you that. I'm really excited for what's about to happen with Glory in kickboxing here in the States.
And, Mike, knowing that you competed in MMA and now in kickboxing, is there a difference there in the crowd, would you say?
I mean, yes, the fans are just kickboxing fans a little bit more. Usually people that go to kickboxing events, they know about what kickboxing is and Muay Thai is really about. MMA, I feel like, it's more of a show and they just want to see people fight, you know. Does that make sense? As far as, they just want to, you go to the bar and you watch the UFC fights or whatever, but kickboxing, people that really follow kickboxing closely, those are the true fans, kickboxing is not as popular as MMA, so people that do go to the events, all right, they either practice kickboxing or they really follow it because they love it.
And you think there's a strong following here in the States or a strong following can be built in the United States for kickboxing?
Oh, absolutely. Kickboxing was huge back in the days, and I strongly believe that it will come back. A huge promotion like Glory here coming in the States, and it can only go up, And with tournament styles like that and the show that me and all the other guys we put on, over the weekend, you can't lie, It's in front of you. It's kickboxing is the best. It's the best type of fighting right here, I believe, I believe that kickboxing is a lot more, for me, fun to watch than MMA. Even though I love MMA, I believe that kickboxing is a lot better.
Gotcha. Well, Mike, thank you so very much for your time. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go? And congratulations again.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, guys. Yes, I'd like to thank everybody that, been supporting me. My coach once told me that, this sport is bigger than us. And, today I think I really realize that right now, that without the fans, without the people that come and support all the time, and I've got so many emails and texts and calls after my fights, and this is what just keeps me going. So please send more love to me on my way, and expect to see me on the big show from now on.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thank you so very much. Congratulations again, and hope to have you here soon again, and we'll be talking perhaps about your next upcoming fight next time around.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good night. Congratulations.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
There you have it. Guillermo, kickboxing man, slowly but surely making its way here into the United States with Glory. And by the way, if you guys want to check out upcoming events of Glory, GloryWorldSeries.com. In fact, they have Glory 5 London, March 23rd. That's about 5 weeks and 2 days from now. You can check out the information. You can see it live. Just go on the website, GloryWorldSeries.com. Glory 6 Istanbul, that's going to be in April. And also Glory 7 Milan, that's going to be in April 2. Very exciting kickboxing, you know that? I personally like it.
I'm curious to see how it does, because K1, which was the premier organization for years in kickboxing all over the world, did make attempts to, come into the U.S. They had a couple of big tournaments in Las Vegas. It's just when they came in was before MMA had taken off. So, right. People weren't really into that kind of combat sport yet at the time. Is still boxing, competing. But now that MMA has taken off so much like it has, and people have gotten to see how exciting the kickboxing aspect of MMA can be, maybe they'll be more keen to get into that sport now. Maybe now is the right time.
Yep. All right, guys, let's go to a quick little break here, and we'll be right back with Coach Ruff, who's going to be calling in. He'll be letting us know his opinion on how the wrestling community feels with the Olympic decision on banning the sport from the games in 2020. Very upsetting. Let's hear from them and you. 714-868-0222 is the number. 714-868-0222 is the number. You can tweet your opinion at Roman EH. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Nellie from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you? When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
And we are back here, and we're here at The Roman Show talking some mixed martial arts, some kickboxing, and now some wrestling. Wrestling, as we know, the MMA community, the sports community in general, is just upset at what happened with yesterday, with the whole Olympics, banning the sport of wrestling, an original sport from the Games. And this could happen possibly in 2020 as they're fighting to get it back in there. And the community is just in an uproar, very upset. Okay, again, guys, we invite you to call in 714-868-0222. We want to hear your opinion, and you can tweet your opinion at Roman DH. But to speak on the subject right now is head wrestling coach of Lindsey Wilson College in Kentucky, Coach Corey Ruff is on the line right now. Coach, this just must be very upsetting when you heard about this, and I'm sure that a lot of your kids, a lot of your students out there, please break it down for us. What's going on right now in your school right now when you heard the news?
It's just devastating news for anybody that's involved in the sport. Especially at higher levels. I'm not involved at the Olympic level, of course, but we're enthralled with it, and we're. You know, everybody's devastated from this point. We think about our wrestling heroes, and you talk about the Dan Gables and John Smiths, and the list goes on, and more recently Jordan Burroughs, and stuff like that. You know, kids dream about that, and they live for that, and that's what they want to be, and that's what they strive to be, just like any other sport. If it's basketball, maybe it's Michael Jordan or LeBron James or something like that. But, the Olympics, that level of wrestling is, it's just devastating to us that even the thought of losing it, but it's certainly inspired us as well.
Yeah, it's been basically a big uproar of people online, on the internet, creating all these web pages and Facebook fan page, Save Wrestling. Heck, everyone has gone out there. I've seen... I'm a big fan of professional wrestling. TNA, which is a big company, has gone out there and said, calling out the World Wrestling Entertainment, hey, let's join in the force, let's get together, let's save wrestling
from being banned in the Olympics. So this is actually, I would see it also as a positive because it's see how much appreciation they have for the sport coach.
Yeah, I've received several emails, over the last 24 hours from people that, that don't really have a wrestling background, and they're just, appalled by this decision as well. A sport that has been, in the Olympics since the day it began, since it was formed, and been involved with all the modern Olympics, and, it's frustrating more than anything. But we see a lot of people right now that are talking about how wrestling is superior to whatever sport you want to point the finger at. But it's really not about that. It's not about taking away opportunities from other people to have that Olympic avenue. What we really need to focus on as a group and the people that are supporting wrestling is to support it and to not belittle and demean, other sports that they feel maybe aren't as deserving. We know as wrestlers that we're very driven and very hardworking human beings. We pride ourselves on that. We feel superior, compared to other sports as far as, a competitive standpoint. But we also have a lot of integrity, and then we're not going to be pointing the finger and trying to say, hey, take this away. Don't take us away. And some of the, I guess one of the gripes that, or one of the reasons that the IOC is pointing at right now is they want to modernize the Olympics. Well, modernizing the Olympics would be, to use that term correctly, would be to think in modern terms. Well, we have a lot more sports to choose from now than we did, 50, 100 years ago. And maybe modernizing the Olympics means that we need to be a little more broad. And instead of limiting it to just 25 sports, maybe we should start, enhancing the opportunities for other sports to have their say without taking opportunities away from something that's just been a staple, a part of Olympic history forever.
Right. Guillermo?
No, I completely agree with you, and they need. It's not right that this comes down to politics within the IOC. I mean, it should really come down to most participants, countries that are behind the sport, and giving those athletes the opportunity to participate. And it's not fair that because the Spanish, the former IOC president, his son who's Spanish and loves modern pentathlon, that he gets to have that sport because he's so close in with the IOC's committee. Whereas since there's no wrestling guy in the IOC's committee, it just gets overlooked. I don't think that's right that it ended up that way.
Yeah, we don't have what's frustrating, the fact that it's such a shock and such a surprise is really, it kind of makes you raise your eyebrow and wonder, how did this happen? Why are we so shocked that this happened? How could there not have been warning signs? As I can assure you that if there had been, we would have been more and more proactive. I would assume that, the FIBA in general, the governing body for Olympic wrestling and international wrestling, I think we would have, rallied a little bit sooner rather than wait until this decision and this surprise vote gets sprung on us. I mean, it's a lot to handle, I'm very proud of my roots in this sport, and I'm going to do everything I can. I don't know how much I can do, but I'm certainly going to do whatever it is. And it's just great that we have such a outpouring of support from people that really aren't affiliated with our sport. But the fact that I'm talking to you right now about this is great. Just the opportunity that we have to have a voice, and we just need to rally together and get everybody together to keep that history going.
And Coach, what are some of the plans here anything you've heard of, perhaps some events or anything like that, that is going to get some attention here?
Yeah, there's a dream team of wrestling knowledgeable people, not only just wrestling successful people, but people that are business smart and I couldn't name off the names that are off the top of my head right now, but there's some big names in our sport, of course, are heavily involved. Dan Gable, Ron Gardner, a lot of the heavy hitters, at least from the United States perspective, and they're getting together with Russia and Iran, you know, we're talking about, you know, Iran. I mean, what's going on there right now? You know, we're having this conversation in the United States. I mean, Iran, that's wrestling is their national sport. I mean, that's our, you know, NFL, so to speak, you know, as to compare it. I mean, that'd be like, you know, us losing, you know, saying the NFL and football's banned forever in the United States. That's what Iran's dealing with right now. Wrestling is their NFL, and it's devastating to everywhere, man. It's worldwide.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it's a really big statement when Iran and the United States are working together towards something when they can't agree on anything else. And you know, it's not just the U.S. and Iran; it's Russia, India has stepped up. I mean. Every, like I was saying at the beginning of the show today, every country started off with some form of wrestling as their primitive sport thousands of years ago. Whether it evolved into judo or sumo wrestling or something else, is there's still something in every country that is linked to wrestling. And to take that away from the Olympics, which started off with wrestling and running essentially, it's just criminal.
Yeah, I concur 100%. You know, of course, we're of the biased opinion, of course, we have a passion for it and just an utmost respect for it. But just to take away that tradition away from, you know, what the Olympics are really all about is tradition and glorifying supreme athletes in wrestling. I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to come off and sound biased, but, you know, it's the purest sport out there. It's mano-a-mano. It's one-on-one. It's, you know, it's like, of course, we've got, you know, boxing, MMA, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, wrestling is the predecessor to all of that. I mean, it's the first one. I mean, it's what people were doing before, you know, books were invented. That was their way to, you know, compete and to take that away from the most glorified athletic competition is just, it's a shame, and it should not happen, and I pray that it doesn't happen. You know, the fight's not over. I know that, and I know there's another vote in May that takes place in Russia where they will narrow it down to, I believe, 7 or 8 sports are in contention, and they will narrow it down to 3, and then in September, I believe, they will narrow it, they will pick one of those 3 sports to you know, admit into the 2020 games. And we gotta do our job. We gotta do our part to sign petitions, to raise money, to do all these things, because, you know, it certainly does come down to the almighty dollar. I'm sure that's part of it, but, you know, it shouldn't be. You know, it should be about the pureness of sports, and it shouldn't be about, you know, it shouldn't be politics. It shouldn't be financial. It really should just be about sports, and wrestling is so supported worldwide that just boggles my mind that they would ever even come to that decision.
Yeah, you know, it's just amazing how much of an uproar has caused. They created a page here on Facebook, Keep Wrestling in the Olympics, and they opened it up yesterday, and right now it's at 71,267. That's just amazing how many people are out here supporting. They want this sport back in the Olympics, and we've all surely have heard all the athletes that have competed, guys in the UFC, guys that were in pro wrestling, like Kurt Angle, he went on and said, you know, save the pro wrestling. So everyone is getting together, and it's really lovely to see this. You know, it really is to see this type of camaraderie, Coach. And like you said, you know, Iran, United States, but they're getting it together for wrestling. That's just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a shame that it came to that, but you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what comes of this. You know, like we talked about, you know, getting, you know, America, Russia, and Iran, and X amount of countries, you know, that may have political differences, but we're going to get together to, you know, to work as a team to make this happen, and from internally in the United States, you know, I think it's great, you know, that I'm allowed this opportunity to speak to you guys right now, and you know, I think it's important that it survives. You know, I think wrestling has been a good avenue for a lot of you know, MMA fighters and you know, guys that have come in and had a lot of success. It's obviously not the you know, the primary skill set for MMA, but I think, you know, MMA has certainly benefited from the sport of wrestling, and you know, I'd like to see that, you know, continue. And I just, you know, I just, it would just be a shame to not have, you know, the Jordan Burroughs to glorify. You know, it would be a shame to not have, you know, say Ben Askren, for example, to not have that, you know, that label on his, you know, when you're introducing him into a fight card, you know, and not to, you know, but to not say, to say that he's not an Olympic wrestler, I mean, that just, it takes away a little bit of accolades from him, and they deserve those. I mean, that stuff is, that's hard work, man. There's only 7 weight classes in freestyle, 7 in Greco, and you know, and women's wrestling has now been just recently admitted or recently added to the Olympic Games, and now they're taking it away before they hardly even get any steam to get their legs under them.
Right. Well, Coach, thanks so much for your time. Any specific website that you suggest that people should go out there and visit? Any petitions going on, anything like that?
Yeah, I know there's petitions going around right now. There's definitely a petition to get the White House active. I don't know where it's at right now. But the one you mentioned earlier about keeping Olympic wrestling, there's Save Olympic Wrestling on Facebook. You know, I know there's a lot of resources there as well. So, I mean, if you go to those Facebook pages and you like them, there's just an abundance of information that you can find out of just how popular the sport of wrestling is at this time. I mean, it's booming. It's really never been bigger in the United States in terms of, you know, folk-style participation. It's one of the most popular sports in the country in terms of participation, and it's continuing to grow. I believe there's 95 college wrestling programs have been added in the last, like, 10, 12 years. You know, so it's on the up and up, and it just be devastating to see that participation level go, you know, in that direction internally in the United States, and then to have the pinnacle, I mean, the utmost, you know, just the highest level of wrestling you can get to take that possibility away, it just, it would be a shame. It won't kill wrestling, but it certainly won't help it.
Right. Well, Coach Russ, Corey Russ, head wrestling coach of Lindsey Wilson College in Kentucky, thank you so very much for your time, man, and hopefully your speech and a lot of the voices out there listening will help save wrestling and put it back in the Olympics. Thanks so very much, Coach.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. Have a good night. Whether you're at it, guys, and guys, we want to hear from you, your opinion. We want to hear from you what you felt when you first heard the news. I'll be honest with you. Even when I first heard it, I was like, what the F? I can't believe they're doing this stuff. It's like, when you think of Olympics, you think of wrestling. When you think of wrestling, you think of Olympics.
Yeah, no, I mean, and to hear it from the head of the IOC, who, you know, is Jack Roger, he was saying that they're trying to modernize the Olympics. They're trying to, you know, get key demographics to watch the Olympics, meaning like the 18 to 35-year-old demographic. And so they wanted to bring in these new extreme sports that they've never had before, and they're hoping that will help, you know, the Olympic with finances and with ratings and all that. But, I mean, wrestling, who's doing wrestling? The younger guys, you know? Not only are the younger guys doing it, but it's also their dads who were doing it before them. And I think it's just a bad decision by the Olympic Committee. And, you know, there's so many countries that love wrestling. You know, I know it's never, ever going to happen, but if all those countries said, we are boycotting the Olympics, we're not going to participate at all unless you bring back wrestling.
That's it.
Do you think the Olympics could survive without U.S.? Do you think the Olympics could survive without Russia? I mean, I don't think so. Like, nobody would watch the Olympics if those two countries weren't in there. I mean, I know it's never going to happen. You know, not half the world's going to boycott the Olympics. But if it came down to that, what could the Olympic Committee do? You know, they'd have to admit wrestling. But unfortunately, that's probably not going to happen because, you know, the U.S. would be taking a big risk. You know, they have so many, you know, maybe 1,000, maybe a few hundred athletes, and to deprive maybe 15 athletes, you know, in wrestling, to deprive the rest of them, that probably wouldn't be fair. But there's that many people that are behind wrestling right now.
Right. Want to read here some tweets that are interesting. Guys, I want you to call in. We will open up the phone lines later on today because we want to hear from you and your opinions as far as the Olympics and wrestling. But Jordan Morrow here tweeted, it's not over yet. We will keep fighting to save the sport we love. Don't stop dreaming and don't stop believing. Kurt Angle. I remember Kurt Angle, WWE champion and also an Olympic gold medalist. He said, you take Olympic wrestling out of Olympics, you take the Olympic tradition from Olympics. And he's calling out all wrestlers, pro wrestlers, MMA fighters, coaches. They need to jump on board and send a message to save hashtag Save Olympic Wrestling. Let's see, even Dana White got in the action here. Says Dana White here, well, no, saying here that he can't be the guy to save for the wrestling stuff, the Olympics. Ronda Rousey tweeted something funny. Says chess, poker, shooting, and archery, but and golf, but no Olympic wrestling. These are just some of the things that are going on here. Jamie Varner, he posted hashtag Save Olympic Wrestling, time for us to band together and inform the IOC is trying to get rid of the oldest Olympic sport. Everyone is tweeting about it. I mean, the names go on and on. If you go on Twitter right now and just notice that. It's kind of sad, though, man. You got synchronized swimming and they take out wrestling. You know that?
Come on. I mean, synchronized swimming sounds almost silly compared to wrestling. You know, it doesn't even sound like a real sport.
One?
It's just like... Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even sound like a real sport when you first hear about it, you know. But what can you do? But, I mean, the voices are being heard. I mean, there's already been some actions that happened. You know, for example, Dale Fonten had called out FILA, which is the Organization of International Wrestling, and he had said that the two idiots that run that thing haven't been doing anything for the last few years, and that's the reason why it came to this. Well, apparently they've heard Chael or somebody, because they organized a meeting right away the minute the Olympics banned wrestling. And after the uproar of the last day, Jacques Roger, the president of the IOC, has set up a meeting with the head of wrestling. So, you know, the head of the International Wrestling Organization. So, I mean, I think Roger's gotten a lot of heat from people on account of his decision. And he said that when he made the decision, he knew he was going to get a lot of heat, but I don't think he realized it would be this much.
Well, Jose Garcia, all the way from Mexico, said that he feels that it's more of a political decision and a lack of respect to history. That's his thought as far as what happened with the Olympics banning the sport of wrestling. Gosh, all right, let's go to a quick break. We're going to be right back with Brian Caraway, who is getting ready for his fight up in Japan. It's coming up March 2nd. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more action here in the Roman Show.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of the Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up the Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to the Roman Show.
All right, we're back here on the Roman Show. Getting ready now for Brian Caraway, who fights March 2nd in Japan. He's fighting Takaya Uzaki and Takeya. That's going to be a good competitive fight for him, Brian Caraway, who is actually part of the Ultimate Fighter. And he's also going out with Misha Tate, the lovely Misha Tate here. Well, that's awesome. So we got a fighting couple out there. And so we're going to speak to him. If you have any questions, feel free to... tweet it to us at RomanDH, or you can write it there on the chat room where you guys are chatting right now as we speak. And also, call in 714-868-0222. But listen, I just got off from Facebook and all the way from Mexico, man. They're just commentating or giving their opinions on the whole wrestling thing. It's literally has reached the entire world, and people are just upset. Let's go ahead and call in to Brian Caraway, who is getting ready for... Okay, yeah. Uzaki, March 2nd, the UFC show coming up. That'll be televised. And right now he's actually training right now, but he took some time to speak to us as he is getting ready for his fight coming up. And that will be on UFC on Fuel TV.
Hello?
8, Silva versus Stan. Brian, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Awesome, man. Excited to be on your show.
No, thank you, man. Thanks for the time to... Think it's the time to speak to us. You're on with myself, Rodolfo Roman, and Guillermo Garcia. Well, first and foremost, man, I know you're getting you're in a little practice here. We really appreciate taking some time to speak to us. So tell us about this fight coming up March 2nd. It's going to be in Japan. When are you leaving? How are you preparing?
Yeah, I'm fighting Takeya Mizugaki. You know, he's been around for a long time. He fought for the world title in the WC, so he's a super tough opponent, super game. And, you know, he has that Japanese spirit where they don't, you know, never give up. So it's going to be a tough fight. And, you know, I've been preparing hard, my home state, Yakima, or Washington. And we're flying out, I think it's February 25th or 26th. So here soon. I got about a week and a half more of training, and then we're flying out.
Hey, Brian, how do you prepare for a fight overseas with in Japan with the time difference? Does it make a difference with you, or how do you start changing your sleeping times?
You know, I was looking into that and stuff, but I think, you know, since the UFC is an American-based company, I think they try to, like, cater to mostly, I think, Americans on TV. So I think it's going to actually air, which is going to be live. But
yeah, it's 7:30.
It's going to air like 12 or, yeah, or something like that. So it should be close to our time here in America. So even though it's going to be late there, I want to stay on our time schedule. So even though it might be 3-4 there or whatever it is there, I'm going to try to stay on my same schedule as we are here.
That's always a plus, because sometimes, you know, that time change, the plane ride, the fact that you're going on there a couple of days can settle you in.
Yeah.
How about with the food? Is that coming into play?
Yeah, that's going to come into play, definitely. You know, I think the jet lag helping you, you know, my buddy just fought in China, and he gained 5 pounds of weight, you know, just in jet lag over there, held all this water weight.
Wow.
And so that's a tough deal. And then, you know, being in a foreign country where you're not really sure, you know, on their foods or what you like or what's healthy or this or that, you know, so, you know, how to communicate things. So, you know, I'm going to take it upon myself to kind of pack my weekly food for the fight, you know, so I know I have what I need.
Gamble?
Yeah, now, Brian, this is your second time fighting a former bantamweight or featherweight contender. You fought Hamnick before. How have you grown since that last fight with Hamnick that you ended up losing, and what's going to make the difference this time around?
You know, just having better people around me. That time, actually, both my corners kind of didn't show up on me, left me hanging within the day, you know, day of weigh-ins, nobody showed up. It was the biggest fight of my career as well. You know, it was my WC debut, and I think I just had a lot of nerves, and just everything kind of seemed to all collide, you know, fall apart at the end. But, you know, I'm a little bit more seasoned now. I fought on, you know, WC. I fought for the UFC already a couple times. I was on the Ultimate Fighter reality show. And, you know, I think I just, you know, really grown as a fighter and as a person. And, you know, I think that's going to be the difference, you know.
Now, your last fight was your bantamweight debut. Did you have any trouble with a weight cut? Do you expect any problems this time around?
You know, I didn't have any trouble. Last time I came down, actually, I started my original weight cut my last fight at 173. And, you know, I just did a lot of juicy vegetables and fresh fruits. And, you know, I got really lean and I was really strict on my diet. And, you know, I got down fairly easy. This time, you know, it's coming down. I started out a little lower at 163, but I'm kind of plateauing a little bit higher than I want. But, you know, I don't foresee it being too much of a problem.
Now, you fought for many organizations in the past, Right Force, Elite XC, WEC. I mean, did you ever think that you might not make it to the UFC, especially after the two WEC losses?
You know, only if the UFC never added our weight class division. There's no doubt in my mind if the UFC, you know, eventually added our division like they did, I would be fighting in there. You know, my second loss from the WEC, I think it was horse shit. I think it was bullshit. I think I won the fight. I actually had Rose Gracie come up to me and do an article on it and the bad judging in Vegas. I outlanded Fredson Paschal 3-1 in strikes. I took him down every single round, and he hit me with like 8 leg kicks. So, I mean, it was bullshit. It was, you know, I'm still pissed about that. Obviously, you can tell I'm sore. Although I didn't fight to my potential, I fought definitely safe in that fight, because I knew I was coming off of one loss already. But, you know, I definitely thought I was going to be in the big show. I know I'm a world-class athlete. I've trained with Pat Sabers, Alpha Male. I've trained with a lot of world-class guys, Dennis Hallman. I trained a little bit, you know, at Jackson's. And I know that, you know, I'm a world-class caliber fighter.
Now, in your when you were in the Ultimate Fighter, before you fought Diego Branda on the semifinals, you showed a lot of nerves on the show. Was that just editing, or, I mean, what was the situation there?
You know, a little bit of a both. I do get nervous, and, you know, the difference that they came with editing that made the biggest difference is I get performance anxiety. I'm not scared. I'm not scared of anybody. There's no way a guy fights 35 MMA fights and makes it to the elite level if they're scared to fight. You know, I'm not scared to fight anybody. But everywhere I've trained, I've always been one of the top guys, no matter where it's at. Favors, anywhere. I've always been one of the top guys in the gym, one of the most talented guys, and I have all these people in my ear telling me this. And, you know, it creates a lot of pressure for myself. And before all my fights, I'd get a lot of performance anxiety. I'd hold myself to a high standard, and I would tend to sometimes focus on, you know, doubts or negatives or, you know, in this sport, you can get caught with anything. And I kind of would let the my performance anxiety take a hold of me, and I'd end up throwing up my first 30 fights. But, you know, finally I've been just working on a lot of mental things, and you know, mental obviously is a huge part of fighting, so I was working on that and not just training my body but training my mind. And, you know, I haven't puked for my last 5 or 6 fights. And, you know, I feel better. The Diego Farandao fight, you know, was a little nerve-wracking. I think, you know, kind of got to everybody being on that show. And everybody, I think, made him out. I mean, he's definitely a tough fighter, but he was on that show, I think, with a 13-7 record. He probably had the worst record on the show. And, yeah, you know, he got into everybody's head. And like I said, mental plays a huge part. But I definitely think I learned from that show, and I'm just growing every day as a person and as a fighter.
And Brian, I'd like to ask you about your girlfriend, Misha Tate. You know, you guys are going out. You guys are a couple. Tell me about how was her take when you fight. You know, I'm trying to picture here. You know, the whole Rocky and Adrian. Did she get nervous? The fact that when she is a fighter, or does she get into the fight? I mean, what's her reaction when you fight?
You know, when I fight, she gets a little bit more nervous. I think she gets more nervous for when I fight than when she fights. But she's still pretty cool. She's still pretty calm and collected, and she keeps me grounded and keeps things light. You know, reminds me that I'm doing this work because I love it, and reminds me to have fun, and that's what it's all about. You know, if you stop having fun, then you know that's when it starts becoming a job, and I feel like it was like that for a while in my career, but she helps me, keeps me grounded.
And is she going to travel with you as well to Japan?
Yeah, she'll be cornering me and also traveling with me to that fight, to the Mizugashi fight.
That is just that. And then now, how do you react when she fights? Do you get nervous or do you get into the fight?
You know what? At first, I would get, you know, I got a little nervous, but not too much because I know she's a badass, and I, you know, I trained her, so I know that she's, you know, is up to any task and really never bothered me. I knew she's going to go out there and beat up anybody, but, you know, the competition's rising and more talent's getting out there. And I found myself these last 3 fights, she's kind of put some barn burners on me and definitely made me a lot more nervous. And I find myself getting super nervous for her fights. I get super amped and she's trying to calm me down. She's fighting, but she's in the back giving me a shoulder rub. Calm down. You're good. Breathe. And I'm like, wait, you're the one fighting.
Well, 2 more questions before we let you go. Your thoughts? You know, she's fighting now in the UFC. How do you feel about that? How are you? How do you help her prepare for the UFC that you've been there already?
Yeah, I think she's, you know, has a really, really amazing mentality in the sport. And I think that's awesome that women get to, you know, be on the big stage as us. You know, they get in there and they fight each other on the same, you know, same playing field, same skill level. And they're fighting other girls, we're fighting other guys, you know, it's the same difference. So it's all relative. So, you know, I'm stoked for her. She's been working really hard and she deserves the credit just as much as any guys. And I'm just stoked for her. You know, I think she's going to, you know, rise to the occasion and continue on being a superstar.
Awesome. And Azzy, how are you going to spend your Valentine's Day, man? Got to ask you that one since it is tomorrow. Hopefully she's around you. You don't want to give any secrets she doesn't hear.
That's what I was just going to say. So no comment on that.
All right, then. We'll make sure maybe you could tweet it or something about how you spend your Valentine's Day, man. Hey, thanks so very much,
All right,
Ryan.
Man.
I know you're going to get back to work. Enjoy your Valentine's Day with Misha, and hope to have you here soon.
Absolutely.
On the show. And good luck on March 2nd.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Later. Thank you so much. Have a good night. Thank you. Almost got it out of him, Guillermo. How do MMA fighters spend their Valentine's Day? That would have been pretty neat to find out they were going to spend it.
You think they're going to take a day off from training? Probably not.
Well, you got to find out. You know,
no, but he's probably going to get a different kind of workout, Roman.
Come on, you have to really take it that way, man. Jesus Christ.
You're taking it the wrong way. I meant training.
It's PG. But yeah, we just found out, you know, that Misha Tate, you know, she is getting in there, and you know, she's going to be now in the UFC, so she will be competing. And it's just going to be absolutely awesome, man. To, you know, we might see a Tate and Ronda Rousey. You know, now that they're saying the Cyborg is no longer has anything in the world of MMA, she's no longer important, is what Ronda was saying.
No, I mean, she isn't, because she's asked to be released from the UFC. I mean, you know, she has so much potential, and, you know, I'm sure she'll end up in Invicta or somewhere like that, but, you know, she could be so much more. You know, she could be a UFC champion. She has that kind of talent, and unfortunately, she's decided to throw it away. So it's a real shame. But, yeah, I mean, if you read the article yesterday, Ronda Rousey has called out the winner of the Misha Tate Kat Zingano fight. So it's probably going to happen. I mean, it's not like the UFC has a whole lot of other women's fights scheduled at this point, and definitely Misha Tate and Kat Zingano would probably be the two highest profile women outside of that main event between Rousey and Carmouche.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But yeah, it's sad though. Tito Ortiz working hard to get Cyborg out of the. That just doesn't want anything. He doesn't want anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of this is actually Cyborg, and how much of this is Tito Ortiz. You know, because he's had issues with the UFC management in the past, and hopefully this is not him carrying over something between him and the UFC, which is costing Cyborg an opportunity. You know, he says that he's trying to. He's trying to get more money for her. He's trying to get a better weight for her. He's looking out for her health. But, I mean, how, you know, he's got to say things like that, but how much of it is actually true?
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting to know. And, I mean, where else is she going to go? She can go to Bellator, or she can go to Invicta. See, Invicta, she would be
able to go to Bellator, though. Bellator doesn't have a 145-pound women's division. They've done 115 pounds, which they did a tournament, and they've done a few one-off fights at 125 pounds. They haven't really even tried to get a 145-pound division. And the way things have been going with Bellator's women's fights lately, which is not much, I don't see them really investing a whole lot of money in Cyborg.
Not the only other place would be Invicta FC, and they have a whole lot of ladies out here. But
now, unless
she's going
one-off fights somewhere else, which really will be even less important.
So, Tito Ortiz, but come on, man, get that book into the UFC. Everyone wants to see it. Ronda wants to prove her wrong that she can't beat her. Put her on.
Yeah, I mean, Tito Ortiz is just starting his managing career. To start it off on a low note like this is not going to do well for him, man. You know, he needs to get Cyborg into the UFC. He needs to make her successful, or you know, he might get a few young guys to sign up with him, but he ain't gonna get any veterans going like this.
Want to speak now of the World Series of Fighting? They have set up their fight card that's gonna be airing on NBC Sports Network, and they already have pretty much some of the cards set up already, and that's gonna be taking place in Jersey, and it's the second show. The World Series of Fighting. And the main card is going to include Andrei Arlovski versus Anthony Johnson, and Martin Moreau versus Tyson Nam, Josh Bergman versus Aaron Simpson, David Branch versus Pablo Fio, JD Calvacante versus Justin Gaethje. So pretty cool fights there, and it's going to be absolutely free on NBC Sports Network. In fact, we're waiting on getting some of the participants in that show here on the Roman Show perhaps next week, so stay tuned for that. March 23rd in New Jersey. That will be taking place, World Series of Fighting number 2. Coming up also on March 2nd, same day actually that the UFC will be on, CFA 10 will be taking place. And later we're going to have two ladies that will be participating in the inaugural women's tournament. And that's Kelsey DeSantis and Ashley Smith, Kevin Smith, who will be competing in that tournament. So both of these will be in here. But 22, they're going to have XFC. You can see that live on Axis TV. We're going to have two of the fighters that will be part of the fight card, Owens and XFC Joseph Cornaroli. We're going to have them next here on the Roman Show. Remember, guys, tweet your opinion on the Olympics. Did they do a big mistake? What should the Olympics do? Should they get it back? Reinstate the wrestling ASAP. We want to hear from you guys. In fact, I got a tweet here from Andre Ramirez. It says, this is a political decision, and it's going to take money, but I do have access to politicians who can probably fix the issue. Okay. I guess this guy's well-connected, man. If he has so much connections, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. It's totally a political decision because if you look at all the other statistics, they're all towards wrestling. Because ultimately, it came down to modern pentathlon and wrestling at the end. If you look at number of athletes, number of participating countries, revenue made, ticket sales, TV ratings, you look at all that. You look at all that not only for the last Olympics, look at it for the last 10 Olympics. It
right.
always was wrestling, and it's not even close. It's like 3-1 wrestling was ahead on all those stats on modern pentathlon. But yet, they pick modern pentathlon over wrestling. Doesn't make any sense.
Or the walking. Come on, the walking.
Yeah, that I can't believe. Speed walking is an Olympic sport. I mean, come on.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, romandh@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at romandh@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to CounterMove.com. That's CounterMove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
Hey, what's up? This is Brett the Grim Rogers listening to The Roman Show.
Well, we surely have been out of here with the whole wrestling and the Olympics. Everyone tweeting, going wild over it, and they're very just upsetting. But I decided to switch some gears. before we bring in our next guest, the one Owens to fight Nathan Lauer, NXT 22. So you can watch that stuff live on Access TV for free, as XFC will bring in their next show here later this month. Guillermo, I want to talk about Cain Velasquez, Antonio Bigfoot Silva for the title. And then on that same pay-per-view, you got Alistair Overeem versus JDS. Was this the right decision for the UFC? As many people have been just upset at some of the matchmaking from the UFC. You know, Anthony Pettis versus Aldo. Obviously, Pettis is a bigger name, is what they're saying. And Kenny Florence said that, actually, in an article. What is going on here? Are we sticking to the rankings, or are we just trying to sell pay-per-views?
Well, the UFC really didn't have a choice here in the heavyweight division. You know, Junior Dos Santos just, you know, was pretty much the only other choice they had. I mean, Fabricio Werdum, who's the next guy in the rankings after Dos Santos, is scheduled already to fight in June. So, I mean, if Cain was going to fight him, it would take until September, at least, and they didn't want Cain to wait that long, you know, especially since he had already only fought once in the last, you know, 8-9 months. So they wanted to get him a little bit more active. I mean, apart from that, apart from Werdum, and if they don't do an immediate rematch with Dos Santos, then there was Cormier, but he refuses to fight Velasquez. So that pretty much just leaves Bigfoot Silva. He's on a two-fight winning streak, has a massive win over the guy that was supposed to be a number one contender, and Alistair Overeem. So that's pretty much the only choice that they had, unless Cain was going to sit out till September, and then they would have to hope that Werdum would win. You know, so they didn't have a lot of options.
Yeah, people are just upset. You know, sticking to the rankings, they're making these fight cards, these fights just because, and it looks good on paper. But it seems that's just what's happening. And you know, we were informed that this month the UFC actually unleashed their own ranking, but they're not sticking to it.
If they did stick to the rankings, it'd be Dos Santos against Cain again, because Dos Santos is still number two in the world according to those rankings.
Right. And I mean, in a way, it does make sense with the whole Silva thing, because you know, now you can anticipate that. You know, if JDS were to knock out or win against Alistair Overeem, you can then just build it up and say, oh, you know, they meet again. You know, the trilogy, the last fight between these two. So it does make sense.
But I mean, with the way the heavyweight division is, I think that if it continues the way it is, and if Cain and Junior keep on winning, we might see a number four, a number five, a number six between these guys. You know, because they would have fought three times so early in both of their careers. You know, so yeah, we'll see. The heavyweight division is one of those divisions that is not so deep where you can't get guys fighting four or five or six times. It's happened before. I mean, Andre Arlovski and Tim Sylvia fought two times in a row for the title, and the first time that they fought wasn't even a close fight. It was a clean knockout. It wasn't controversial. It was not a decision, and they just decided to do a rematch 3 months later. So it has happened before in the heavyweight division. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some, you know, a lot of rematches, just because the elite guys in the division, there's only so many of them.
Right. Well, all right, now we're going to reach out to our next guest, Juan Owens, who fights Nathan Lauer on XFC 22 on February 22. It's going to be airing live on Access TV. You can check that out absolutely for free. All you got to do is obviously have the channel, so you enjoy the fight there. Juan Owens, with a record of 6-4, training out of the Triangle Jiu-Jitsu camp, and he is actually coming out of, he's on a two-fight winning streak, and he just defeated Ian Ramel earlier in January, actually, last month. So he's coming up out of a victory, and then
a mailbox
in,
belonging to 91033345.
We'll try to reach out to DeJuan soon. Unfortunately, just wasn't working for him. But XFC, you can watch the fight card, as I said, on Access TV, absolutely for free, as we're going to get a hold of. Now, something upset as we wait to get a hold of DeJuan, something that's really upsetting you, Guillermo, is that Machida, Lyoto Machida, fights on Anderson February 23rd, which, by the way, Ronda Rousey will be headlining that fight card against Mr. Muchen. Ronda Rousey will be on the program next Wednesday here on The Roman Show. So make sure you tune in live. But what is your take? You're upset because Alexander Gustafsson, if he defeats Gegard Mousasi, which the fight was just made, he's going to get the title shot. It's not going to be Machida. And you're not happy about that, Guillermo.
Well, I don't have a problem with Gustafsson getting the title shot, but I think you got to see how both of those fights go before you decide, oh, this guy's going to get it for sure or this guy. I think you got to weigh everything. So you got to look at how the Henderson-Machida fight goes. You got to look on how the Mousasi-Gustafsson fight goes and then make a decision from there. Because what if Machida knocks out Dan Henderson in 10 seconds, but Gustafsson gets a controversial decision against Mousasi where he got his ass completely kicked, and yet somehow the judges gave him a decision? Fans are going to be irate. Machida just destroyed a legend who has never been destroyed by anybody before, and then Gustafsson barely gets by against a guy just coming to the UFC. You know, he was still a champion at Strikeforce. But still, you know, you get my point. I mean, I think you got to wait and see how these two fights go. You got to see if Gustafsson comes out of there injured or not. You don't know if that's going to happen. You know, and then you got to see, you know, God forbid John Jones gets injured or, you know, something like that to that effect happens. Because maybe Dana White's making this decision because Machida's lost to John Jones before. But Machida has not lost to Chael Sonnen before. What about if he pulls off the upset? You know, so I think you got to take into account what happens in the title fight between Jones and Sonnen, take into account what happens with Gustafsson and Mousasi, and see what happens with Henderson and Machida before you start making these proclamations.
Right. All right, let's go to a quick break. Guillermo, we'll be right back with more action here on The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join The Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com.
This is Jeff from Snowman Month, and telling you to watch Rodolph Roman, one of my good buddies. They are announcing Fight Time Promotions.
All right, and we are back here on The Roman Show. I was going to get a hold of DeJuan Owens here in the program. And Guillermo, a lot of stuff happening in the world of MMA, as this weekend we have a great fight there. Finally, from the UFC, feel so lonely, man, without any MMA. Although yesterday we had the Ultimate Fighter. What were your thoughts on that episode?
Yeah, I mean, it was John Jones' team's first victory, since the show began. Their two previous fighters had gotten viciously knocked out. And this time they came out with a decision victory. And it wasn't the most impressive victory. It was just mostly laying on top of the guy. But they got a victory, and they got to choose their next fight. So maybe this will be the turning point for Jones' team. But, we have not seen any of this Chael Sonnen versus John Jones going back and forth. We have not really seen that at all this season.
Didn't Chael Sonnen just said that he considered John Jones one of the best athletes in the sport?
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, he was talking all this trash before the show. And I guess now they really like each other because there's nothing going on the show at all. I mean, between the two of them. The show is showing really is that Chael Sonnen is actually a fantastic coach. If you watch the show, he gives these great pep talks, these great philosophical talks to all his fighters that, I'm even taking away stuff from. Like, it's really good stuff that he's been giving his fighters. It's really revealing that side of him. I think that front that he puts up with all the trash talking and all that, that's just a sell ticket. It's not really who he is.
Yeah, but come on, man. I wanted to see Chael Sonnen and John Jones talk all this smack. And remember, he even came out with a special on his pizza restaurant and so forth. And he's just not delivering on the show. Something has to go down there. I'm really hoping some smack talk goes out. They just can't be friends. I try to reach out to Dewan Owens to fight Nathan Edwards. On XFC 22 on February 22nd, live on Action TV. Dewan coming out 2 wins, back-to-back wins.
Hello?
Hello, Dewan?
Hello?
Dewan?
Yeah, yes, sir. How are you doing?
All right, pretty good, man. Welcome to the Roman Show, Dewan. Thanks so much for taking some time. You're getting ready here for your fight coming up at XFC 22, crossing the line, February 22nd. You got Nathan Letterer coming up. Watson, tell us about this fight, man. You're on a winning streak. Yeah, back-to-back fight, back-to-back fights on your end. You won them back-to-back. So does this momentum carry on? How are you getting ready for this fight, man?
Yeah, man, I'm, doing the same thing I always do, man. Just putting in the work in the gym, tightening up my jiu-jitsu, tightening up my striking, getting my wrestling and takedown defense on point. And, that's pretty much it, man. So, I'm feeling good. Again, doing the same thing I always do, but just now I'm just building on skills that I already have. So, I'm just feeling real dangerous right now. So everything's going great so far.
Now, Dewan, when it comes to experience, you have a lot more as your record is 6-4, and your opponent only has 2 professional fights, but he sure did have a couple of, a lot of amateur fights here. So do you consider this more of an advantage to your end?
I mean, it just depends on, I think when you get to a certain point, the experience doesn't matter as long as you're used to getting in the cage. I mean, like you said, he's had a lot of amateur fights. I had a lot of amateur fights myself. I was 14-3 as an Emmy, so, I had a lot of Emmy fights. So, again, it's just, I think, more important than just the skill is, like, the caliber of opponents you fought. I mean, I think I fought in higher caliber opponents than him. I've beaten guys better than him, and I don't think he's fought anybody on my level yet, That's not to say that, he's not a good fighter, but it just means we've both been fighting 2 different caliber opponents. And I think that is more of an important distinction than just the amount of fights that somebody had,
Right now, Nathan's professional career has been good so far because both of his fights that have been W's have been out of a TKO and knockouts. So he's obviously hoping that he gets the same on this. So how are you trying to counter this stuff and say, hey, don't think it's going to be that easy for you because you got 2 back-to-back TKOs and knockouts?
Right. I mean, again, it just goes back to the caliber of competition. I mean, these guys aren't strikers that he's knocking out, And, if he comes out there trying to stand with me, he's going to get a dose of his own medicine, And, again, if it hits the ground, My grappling is much, much stronger than his. So honestly, I feel comfortable wherever the fight goes. A lot of the times, if you look at those fights, he pushed a real good pace, and he started outworking those guys in the second round. And that's pretty much what led to both of those finishes. So props to him for that. But again, I get stronger as the fight goes on. My cardio's real good. You know, my gas tank's deep. And again, I've got much better striking, not only than him, but, you know, both of those guys he fought. So definitely don't see the fight going any way remotely like that.
Gotcha, Guillermo.
Now, in your four professional losses, they were all by decision. Was these guys just laying on top of you, or what happened in those situations there?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And again, I'm not, you know, not to make excuses because, hey, you know, you're a grown man. You got to tighten your stuff up. But, again, all my fights are on YouTube. You can check it out. You know what I mean? I go out there, and I go out there to fight. You know, I go out there to whoop somebody's ass standing. Or if it goes to the ground, I'm going to ground and pound them. If they're sitting, I'm going to submit them. And, you know, any loss I had while I was a pro, again, you can see this stuff on YouTube. It's basically, you know, I run out of time. You know, maybe I'm a slow starter. The guy's stalling me out the first round or something like that, or second round. By the time I start coming back, you know, whooping his ass. Because, I mean, it's tough when you got a guy who their sole intention is not just to win, it's just to stop you from winning. So it's tough, you know what I mean? You know, it's not like, you know, jiu-jitsu or something where you're exchanging positions. A lot of times, you know, you got guys just want to squeeze, just want to hold. And, I mean, you can be on your back doing more work, throwing up submissions, strikes, anything. The guy's in top position, and say he won, you know. Or not only that, myself being, even though I consider myself really well-rounded, my ground game good too, but my biggest strength is my striking. You know, you outstrike a guy the whole damn round, you get a takedown or two, and you watch the bigger shows, you hear these commentators say stuff like, oh, you know, we're going to get a takedown or steal a round. What? You know, that doesn't even make any sense. You know, a takedown is just a means to do damage. But if you don't do nothing with it, then, you know. But that being said, instead of complaining about that stuff, I tighten up. I'm tightening up my wrestling. You know, if you look, you know, my takedown defense is official. It's really good now. It's continuing to get better. At first, I was just like a jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, like, type hybrid, you know. And then, you know, my cardio will usually push me through and I'll come back and win. But now I'm tightening up my wrestling and everything's been good. So, as you said, any loss is, you know, most of my wins are finishes. I got TKOs, submissions, but the loss is just decision. And, you know, my opinion, a lot of them is just, you know, I'm running out of time. But, you know, it's all good. Instead of complaining about it, just use the motivation to tighten up. So I've been working at wrestling a lot, too.
Yeah, what got you started in MMA? What made you decide to do this?
Well, you know, well, my dad was a big MMA fan, you know. So early on, you know, I was introduced to it a while ago, but I was never a fan like that. I just thought it was just, you know, I don't know, just something cool, but no, you know, no better, no worse than a lot of other things that I wasn't into. You know, I think a lot of things is cool, snowboarding, all kind of stuff, but I'm not going to do it. But when I was in the Marine Corps, I was stationed in Camp Lejeune, and there was a lot of times Ultimate Fighter come out, and I used to always, you know, my roommates and I were chill, kicking it in the barracks, and I was talking like, oh, we could do that. We would always talk about it. So I was overseas one time. I was on a MU, which is an expeditionary unit, and I met a pro fighter, you know, George Lockhart. And this was the first time I ever met anybody who fought. And we rolled, you know. And where I'm from, I mean, I'm from fucking Mississippi, man. Like, you know, at the bottom, baby. You know, we don't have, you know, wrestling programs, stuff like that. So I had no concept of, like, you know, grappling, weight distribution, or anything. It was totally alien to me. So I rolled with him. I couldn't understand, like, you know, damn, how can this dude, you know, how can he just ball me up like this? How can another grown man just, you know, how can he do me like this? You know, choke on me with my own arm. So it was really an eye-opening experience. So I always told myself, you know, that, you know, eventually, you know, I would get into it. Again, I talked about it. At the end of my contract up, you know, I got out, I moved around a little bit, did armed security, you know, then I moved up to where I live now in Durham, you know, found a gym. And just started training, man, you know, started getting pretty good. And after that, you know, my coach was like, yo, man, you know, you're coming along, you should take a fight. And then after that, you know, that's pretty much, you know, the rest is history, man. Just went in there, started doing my thing, felt like I had a knack for it, and, you know, that's pretty much that. Since I didn't have a wrestling background, a striking, no background, I started everything at the same time, I always had this, you know, intensity and this urge to get better at the fastest rate possible. You know, I want to come back on everybody and catch everybody, and I feel like that's what I'm doing, you know, and I think I can catch a lot of guys, and I'm better than a lot of guys now because, you know, the passion that I bring to it to get better, you know. I'm always training. If I'm not training in some capacity physically, I'm studying online, I'm studying, like, I'm obsessed with MMA. You know, a lot of people, they talk about, oh, I'm a fighter, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm a fighter. I'm also a fan. I'm the biggest MMA fan. I'm an MMA nerd. You know, like, I love this shit. So, you know, again, he logged my fight straight from my Annie fight from month to month. Like every 3 months, you can see huge, huge gaps in my progression. You know what I mean? And I just think right now, you know, not to stray too much on the top, but compared to this fight, it's just, you know, Nate, we're on two completely different levels in our development right now. You know, I feel like the way he fights, and again, he's, you know, no knock on him. He's an all right fighter. But I feel like the way he fights, I was fighting like that when I was an amateur. You know what I mean? So, but again, you know, we're gonna see how things go on the fight. You know, I'm gonna be able to, you know, show you guys what I'm talking about. But, you know, that's pretty much how I got into MMA, man. And since then, it's been like a, you know, it's a beautiful thing, man. I love it, man.
Awesome. Well, DeJuan, man, thanks so very much for taking some time. We look forward to see you in action live on Access TV, XFC 22, Crossing the Line. Check out DeJuan Owens versus Nate Bedwar.
Yes,
he is part of that main card. DeJuan, good luck, man. Hope to talk to you soon here on the Roman Show.
Yo, can I give a shout-out? Yeah, no doubt, baby. Can I get a shout-out real quick?
Big
fat shout-out to K-Side MMA. Check them out for all your MMA gear and apparel. That's KSideMMA.com. Check out United Thai Boxing, Triangle Jiu-Jitsu, my homies in Virginia at the MMA Institute, my other big homies in Arkansas at Westside MMA, and, you know, all my fans. Hey, you guys want to see somebody who fights and goes out there to put on a show for a crowd? I'm not stalling. Holler at me on Facebook, DeJuan Owens MMA fan page, all right? See you guys soon.
DeJuan.
Hey, DeJuan. Thanks for having me on, woman.
Thank you, my man, and good luck, all right, dude?
Hey, thanks, brother. Peace.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, DeJuan Owens, check him out. Active T22. February 22nd, live on Access TV, and then from DeJuan, we're going to go to Joseph Cornaroli, who fights Ricky Rainey. He is part of the co-main event. Joseph will be part of that co-main event on XFC 22, Crossing the Line.
Hello?
We are live on Access TV. Joseph, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Roman Show. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, absolutely great, man. Can't complain. Joe, thanks so much again for taking some time and speaking to us. You got Ricky Rainey, XFC 22. Ricky Rainey, how are you preparing for this dude, man?
I mean, just a lot of hard training. I mean, that's the best way to put it. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the fight. It's going to be a real test of my skills. So, you know, I mean, I've had an awesome camp so far. Doing a lot of boxing training for this one, so.
Right. His last victory actually came via TKO. You yourself, well, you won twice in a row, and most of them three times actually, two decisions, two submissions. Now you say you're training on boxing. You could relate this because of his last victory, or because you've been watching some of the stuff that he's moving and striking more than ever. Than anything.
Yeah, I mean, I watched his stuff, and I am a stand-up fighter by default. I mean, that's what I started out in. So, I mean, boxing is more just to strengthen the skills I have. And I know Ricky Rainey comes from a boxing gym, so it kind of helps to know the kind of stuff he's been trained in, too. So,
gotcha, Ian.
Yeah, no, so, you know, you've had a couple of decision victories here early in your career, as well as a submission. But you're saying that striking is definitely your best phase of your game, or are you pretty well-rounded at this point, you would say?
I'd say I'm pretty well-rounded. I mean, striking is just where I started off with, so that's what I used to compete in kickboxing a lot. I don't know if I would say it was my strongest aspect anymore, because, I mean, I've kind of picked up pretty well in jiu-jitsu, and, I mean, that's, I don't know, I would put striking and jiu-jitsu as equal in my strengths.
Right. Now, you fought three times in 10 months to start your pro career, and it's been quite a few months now since your last fight. What's been keeping you out so long?
Well, I mean, it's not by choice. It's just everything I get seems to fall through so far. So, I mean, I've had probably three or four fights scheduled in between since my last fight, but it's just nothing's worked out. And so far, everything on this one's good to go, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, obviously, early in your career, not fighting that often, I guess you got to support yourself maybe by doing another job. Do you have another job that you do right now?
Yeah, no, I'm a jiu-jitsu teacher at Pitch Black MMA and Upstate Karate, and I've been doing that for probably the past 2.5 years. Before that, I was in construction, and that was hard to make ends meet doing that. Economy started to fall off, so they offered me a job working at Upstate Karate, and I've been there since.
And Joe, how does it feel to be part of the co-main event of this great event, Extra 22 on February 22nd?
Man, it's awesome. I mean, I'm very grateful for the opportunity, especially to be put so high up on the card for my first fight for the XSC. So it's just happy for it and try to take advantage of it.
And now, Joe, you said that some of the fights you have been scheduled, that about four of them dropped. How frustrating is that when you're getting ready for a specific fight and all of a sudden, guess what, you know, it's not going to happen. Sorry, dude.
You know, it's pretty frustrating. I mean, it's not so much that I do it for the money. It's just something I love to do. And, you know, it's hard when you can't get fights. You're like, man, what am I doing wrong? I need to get some different organizations or whatever. But, I mean, I know a lot of it's not their fault, but I don't know, it is frustrating.
Like Guillermo?
Yeah, now, you know, where are you training right now? And, I mean, it is still very, very tough for you there in the training center. Like, are you still getting a good challenge out of your training partners?
Yeah, I train at Pitch Black MMA. I get to travel around a pretty good bit. So, you know, I'm going down to Dallas, training with Carlos Machado, all his guys down there. I get the chance to go up to TriStar Montreal every once in a while. Incredible training partners up there. And, you know, I mean, over at Pitch Black, I've got some really awesome training partners that can really push me and improve my game.
Gotcha. Well, Joe, thank you very much, man, for coming on the show. He is part of the co-main event at XSC 22, February 22nd, against Ricky Rainey. Joe, anything else you'd like to add before we let you go, man?
I'd just like to say thanks to all my trainers, my managers, sparring partners, you know, I mean, everybody that's helped me get to where I am right now and been a part of this training camp.
Awesome, man. Well, good luck, Joe, and hope to have you here on the show soon. We'll be talking about a victory, my man.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much, man. Thanks so much. Well, there you go. Right. XSC 22, February 22nd, live on Access TV. We just had DeJuan Owens and Joe Cornarelli, who is going to be part of the co-main event against Ricky Rainey. XFC 22nd, crossing the line. Make sure not to miss that show. Well, Guillermo, with that being said, let's go to a small little break here, and we'll be back with XFC, CFA fighter Ashley Evans-Smith, who will be competing in the inaugural women's tournament March 2nd. We'll be right back with more on The Roman Show. By the way, keep those opinions on the Olympics banning wrestling. Keep them going on Twitter, at RomanDH, and we'll read them live here on the air. And if you want to voice your opinion, 714-868-8022 is the number.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH. Or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
Indeed, you are listening to The Roman Show. Let's move on now with our next guest, Ashley Evans-Smith. You know, we're going to ask Ashley how she's going to be spending her Valentine's Day. But she will be part of the action at CFA 10. We're live from the Coral Gables Bank United Center,
I'm
the home
sorry,
of the University of
but
Miami.
The person you called has a voicemail box that has not
there.
Been.
We'll try to reach out to her soon again, Ashley Evan Smith. The inaugural women's tournament CFA is putting together. $20,000 will be at stake, and also the featherweight title, and it all begins March 2nd at the Bank United Center in Coral Gables, Florida, CFA 10. You can get your tickets right now by visiting Ticketmaster.com. The main event there is going to be McSweeney versus Deion Staring. That should be a good main event. Staring obviously coming out of defeat against Daniel Cormier and McSweeney. Well, we haven't heard from him for a while. The UFC, he's had some fights elsewhere. But what do you think about that main event, Guillermo? And obviously, either of these guys, the victory will be phenomenal for their resume.
So McSweeney is going to fight then, right? Because you were telling me there was a rumor that
yes.
he might not.
No, it's going to happen. He is fighting.
It's definitely going to happen. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen in this event. We know what McSweeney's capable of, but all we know from Staring so far, as far as, you know, what everybody's pretty much seen is what happened against Cormier. You know, we know his record from before, but, you know, who really fought those fights, you know? So it's kind of hard to judge how good Staring really is because he fought one of the best guys in the world. He took a heck of a beating, but he took it like a man. So we know he can take a beating, but we don't know what he can do offensively, really. You know, McSweeney's a tough guy, but since we don't know how Staring's going to do, it's kind of hard to say what's going to happen in that fight. But it should be very, very exciting.
Now, one thing is Staring's fought at heavyweight at Strikeforce, so he's moving down to light heavyweight. So that should be an impact there and a big difference. So we're going to see a different Staring. And also, he's been training at the Black Zillions with the Alistair Overeem and the Rashad Evans. So let's see how much of a difference that will make, since the Black Zillions haven't had that much of a good luck since the hold of Rashad and Alistair both lost in that fight card. But the Black Zillions are going to have a couple of fighters in that CFA 10. So here's an opportunity for them to come up with some victories. Hey, with that being said, Guillermo, let's move forward now. UFC actually is going to have a big event this weekend, and that's really good. Now, you heard about the news about Dominic Cruz. He is the champion, but he has been injured. But Dana White said that he won't strip him of the title unless, you know, if he gets hurt again, the heck, you know, think of retiring.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is kind of strange because back, you know, 8-9 years ago, Frank Mir got in a motorcycle accident where he almost died. He shattered his leg. And after about a year and a half of being out, they did strip him of the title, you know. And so I just wonder what has changed since then, you know, because they stripped Frank Mir back then, but they won't strip Dominic Cruz now, you know. So either you do or you don't, you know. Why did you strip Frank Mir if you don't believe in stripping the champ? You know, so yeah, it's hard to say, but I'd say if Dominic Cruz hits over 2 years of being out, I think you got to strip him of the title. I mean, 2 years is a long time, man, a very long time. And if you tell me that he's been out 2 years, that he's going to come back in the same form that he was in when he left, I don't think that's true. You know, he may have been the best fighter in the world before, but if you've been out 2 years, you know, where you haven't really been training for maybe one and a half to 1 3/4 of a year, can you tell me that he's going to be the same guy? I don't think he would be. You know, so I can't really say that he's still the best, so why should he have the belt?
Yeah, you're right about that. And, yeah, actually the interim bantamweight champion will be in action this Saturday, starting at 2 p.m. with UFC on Fuel, Bernard Barral versus Michael McDonald. That's coming up this Saturday. Let's reach out to Ashley, maybe check up at the phone. I understand she was also working, so she's taking some time to speak to us. She's all the way in California. We're going to speak out to Ashley, who will be competing in CFA, CFA 10.
Hello?
Hey, Ashley?
Hey.
Hey, Ashley, how are you? Welcome to the Roman Show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Awesome. Thanks so much, man, for taking the time and speaking to us. Ashley, you're going to be in action against Tori Adams, CFA 10, the inaugural women's tournament. First and foremost, you know, before we talk about fighting, let's start off a little light here. What are you going to be doing for Valentine's Day? Just curious.
What am I doing for Valentine's Day?
What is for Valentine's Day? What is a woman's MMA fighter look forward to on Valentine's Day?
Well, I mean, a lot of the same things, but then again, a lot of different things. I'll be waking up and I'll be having my normal routine of training, and then I'm actually going to go right after training. I'm going to have a 2 hours training session. I'm going to go get my hair done. I'm going to get colored and dyed, so that's kind of girly part. And then I'm going to go back to training and train a second time. And then I'm going to get out of training, and then I actually have a date, and we're going to go to sushi and, you know, have a normal Valentine's Day.
Nice. Now, are you going to be staying away from the chocolate? Because I know you're going to watch your weight now.
Yeah, I'm going to be strictly eating sashimi and no rice and so.
Awesome.
No chocolate.
Well, Ashley, thanks for sharing that with us. Now, Ashley, you got a big fight coming up, Tori. You got Tori coming up in the inaugural CFA Women's Tournament. You got 20 grand on the line. You got the featherweight title. You had your experience in the amateur career. How are you preparing for this coming fight, man?
Sorry, say that one more time.
How are you preparing for this fight?
Oh, you know, they just changed the opponent a couple of days ago. But, I mean, I've been training for my first pro fight for the past couple months. Coming off of a loss for my last amateur fight, you know, I took a little bit of time off, but I really just started training right away. You know, I knew I still wanted to make the jump from the amateur level to the pro level, so I started training harder. And then as soon as we found out my opponent, you know, we started having more of like fight-specific training, you know. We knew she was a really tall girl at first. She was a striker, so we kind of had, you know, that type of a game plan. But then, you know, now I'm fighting Tori, and I fought Tori before, and I really feel like the last time I fought, you know, I had a great game plan. So we're doing, you know, fight-specific training, you know, training twice a day, you know, dieting, the same kind of stuff that you normally do, you know.
Now, Ashley, you've met her, like you said, in the amateur career, but what can we expect? What Tori do you think you expect from this one? Obviously, a whole different Tori compared to the last time you fought her.
You know, I don't ever try and predict fights, and I'm definitely not going to predict how she's going to be as a fighter, you know, but I know she's coming off of having a baby, and, you know, I think that could go one of two ways. You know, maybe that softened her, you know, maybe that made her training harder. I don't know if she got a babysitter or whatnot, or, you know, you never know. Maybe she's coming back, you know, with a vengeance to put food on her baby's plate, you know. So I'm definitely not going to underestimate her, but I'm definitely not going to overestimate her, and I'm just going to do the same thing that I did last time, minus the submission, you know. I feel like our last amateur fight, you know, it really was going well until I got caught in the arm bar. And, you know, I know she's a good wrestler. I know she's a good grappler, good submission artist. But I feel a lot, I mean, 110% better of a fighter than I was when we fought in the amateur level.
Right, and it's one thing I want to bring up to you, because your last amateur fight, you know, that, and it was, pretty much gone viral, that 5-second knockout with Veronica Rothmauser, who's now in the Victa FC. But, you know, I remember speaking to you, and you say, you know, I'm here to make a statement. That 5-second thing was, you know, so last year. This is 2013.
So last year. You know, and, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I want to do good in this fight, you know, and I'm going to say one of them, you know, one of the 27,000 reasons I want to win this fight is, you know, I want to show the fight world that, you know, that knockout was great, but, you know, I'm not a fighter to, you know, I'm definitely an up-and-coming fighter to look forward, you know, forward to watching, because, you know, I think that once I get a couple of wins under my belt under the pro level, I can stop hearing about, that five-second knockout. Like, I got it. You know, it was awesome. It was great to watch, and it sucks for me. But, you know, another one of the million reasons why I want a win is to just kind of put that past me also.
Now, also in the CFA tournament, there's also another opponent that you face, and that's Taylor Stratford. So there's a couple of girls that you have fought that will be in this tournament. So does this give you any benefits or any advantages, knowing that you know these girls who they are?
You know, like I said, you can't really go into a fight, you know, trying to say that you know how that person's going to fight, or you know the person, you know, because, you know, what you think that person is training for, or, you know, what they're doing in their fight life can be completely different, you know. Unless you're with that person, training with them, you know, eating with them every day, you don't know what kind of fight they're going to bring to the cage. But it gives me some sort of a level of comfort, I'd say, you know. You know, I kind of know that these girls aren't probably going to have, 180, you know, change in their game. They're probably going to have some of the same same things that they did in the last couple fights, you know, in the fight that we had before together. Taylor, you know, I really, you know, I fought her, like I said, you know, like you said, in the Toughen Up fights. And, you know, I just, I think I just want to have the same game plan, you know, just to not overestimate but not underestimate my opponents as well, you know.
Gotcha. Guillermo?
Yeah, Ashley, you started off your amateur career red hot, knocking out people left and right, and you struggled a bit here in the last few fights of your amateur career. Now that you've stepped away for a bit from the fights, do you understand what was happening during those losses, and what have you done to make sure that things like that don't happen again?
You know, you're right. You know, I did have I've had a four-fight win streak, and, you know, Tori actually was my first loss after that win streak, and you know, after I lost to Tori, I took a fight, you know, 6 days later, and then I took another fight, you know, less than a month. And, you know, I've learned a lot of valuable lessons about, you know, taking time off from each fight to learn, you know, to practice what you need to practice and improve on what you need to improve on. So I definitely learned that. And then, unfortunately, I've switched from two different gyms. So that made some kind of structure kind of hard, you know. And, you know, now that I'm at a really solid family-like environment with my new gym, there's nothing more that I could ask for than to just, you know, be happy at my gym and train hard. And so to answer your question, you know, I do know what I did wrong in each and every fight that I lost. You know, I have a 5-4 amateur record, and each of those four fights, I know exactly what I did wrong, and I learned from those fights. So, you know, they say that those losses make you stronger, and I'm going to have to agree 110%.
Now, how did you come about with this opportunity with CFA? Did you contact them? Did they find you? How did that work out?
You know, it's crazy because I get contacted on a regular basis by, you know, people in the MMA world, sponsors and you know, managers and other fighters. And it's just such a close, tight-knit community. And there's a couple great people in the sport, like Sam Wilson, who just kind of like, you know, they kind of connect the dots for you, you know. She hears about a fighter or she hears about a promotion and she kind of connects the dots. But I recently, when I decided to go pro, I got a manager, and I'm now a GBH management, and they actually were contacted. So, you know, they set that up for me.
Awesome. Well, Ashley, we want to, again, wish you a lot of luck coming up on March 2nd, not too far from now. Now, when are you flying in from California to South Florida?
Oh, man, I just got the flight kind of itinerary-ish tonight. I just got news that we're going to be there from the 27th all the way to the 3rd. So, yeah, a couple days. But, I mean, you know, there's only 28 days in February, so it's not that long. But I guess I fly in on the 27th.
27, all right, so. Maybe you might get a little opportunity of enjoying the beach here.
I'm not going to lie, I get a little grumpy when I cut weight, so I'm probably not going to want to do much to enjoy the beach, but maybe after the fight.
There you go. Well, Ashley, thanks so much for joining us, and good luck in that tournament, which starts off at TFA 10 March 2nd. Anything else you'd like to add, and where can folks follow you on Twitter?
Or on social media? Well, two things, you know, one, you guys can follow me. My Twitter is Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-E, with two E's, MMA, one. So Ashley MMA, one. And then Instagram, Ashley MMA. And then you can find me on Facebook, Ashley Evan Smith. And then I would also, if I could just take a second to thank Amber Sports. They're my gear sponsor. They're amazing. They have awesome gear. And I'd also like to thank my gym, Subfighter MMA, and all my coaches and teammates, and Innovative Results in Costa Mesa.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Ashley. And we'll see you here during that week of CFA 10, which is just
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. All right. Bye.
No worries. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much. I heard it. Ashley Evans-Smith will be in action. CFA 10 Women's Tournament, the inaugural 20 grand featherweight title on the line. It's going to be exciting, man. There's a lot of hype around it. And I know these ladies will always come to play. They're going to be bringing a lot of fight. You know, I've never seen a boring women's fight game. I've never seen one to this day. They always come out to fight. Always.
Yeah, absolutely. That's from what I've seen. A lot of these ladies are making their MMA debuts, and that's always great because, you know, no matter what happened in your amateur career, you wipe the slate clean and you take all those experiences from that fight, and now you can start anew and make a new reputation for yourself. So this is a big opportunity, and to start such a big way, to get a title for such a reputable organization like CFA, and to get $20,000, which $20,000 early in your career is amazing, because most of these people, when they start out, they're making $500 or less, you know, per fight. So
yeah.
It's a very, very big opportunity for these ladies.
Very big stuff, man. So that's good stuff. By the way, I want to remind you, tomorrow night, you got Bellator 89, Dantas versus Gavel. That's going to be live on Spike TV, which Bellator has been doing quite well with the ratings there compared to the MTV3, where they were on prior to that. So good stuff.
But to me, that has more to do with Spike TV than it does Bellator in itself. Sure. Bellator is not really doing anything different than it's done before. They're just on a different channel, which is more catered towards MMA and is available to more millions of people. You know, so I think that has a lot more to do with it than the fact that Viacom now owns Bellator, that Bellator is doing anything different with the fighters or with the tournament. They're not really doing anything different, to be honest with you.
Good. All right, let's reach out now to Kelsey DeSantis, who will fight in CFA 10. She'll be going up against Britton Hutton in CFA 10, March 2nd. Kelsey DeSantis will be making her pro debut. She went 2-0 in amateur record, but had a long. She is a veteran. She has a competition out there as well.
Hi, you reached Kelsey. Leave a message.
She is a little
tone.
We'll try to reach
please record
to
your
again.
Message.
As Kelsey DeSantis, who actually asked out Justin Timberlake out to military ball, and Justin Timberlake came out and partied with her, which is pretty neat. Did you get the catch that Justin
asked?
Timberlake? Huh?
You think she asked him to be ringside for the fight?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask her. I am so going to ask her, especially now, because Justin Timberlake is on his tour promoting his new album and his new hit, his new song, Two and Tie. Hey, you never know. You know, he came out to the ball. Why not see her first fight, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, but I'm sure. I wonder if she loves being asked about the Justin Timberlake thing or if she's tired of hearing about it by now. You know,
I'm sure she is.
I'm sure she'd like to be remembered for something more than that. You know.
Yes. I guess she is a veteran. So she wasn't a military. In fact, she's being trained right now by Colton Smith, Ultimate Fighter winner, who was also a veteran. That's very interesting to note there. As Kelsey getting ready for the TFC. Kelsey, how are you? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Hi. How are you? I'm good.
Good. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. We're getting closer to CFA 10 and the women's tournament. Obviously, you will be making your pro debut, and you'll be fighting against Britton Hutton, who actually already has a 1-1 record. Now, Kelsey, first and foremost, I understand that you're getting some tips here from Ultimate Fighter winner Colton Smith, who is a veteran just like yourself.
Oh, tips from Colton? Have I gotten any tips?
You were training with Colton Smith?
I was when I was active duty in the Marines. I was training with him for my last fight, and he really helped out my wrestling and jiu-jitsu.
Tell me about training with Colton Smith and the type of person he is, because I got an opportunity to meet him at the CFA show in January last month. So what type of tips did you learn from him?
He's a tremendous fighter. He doesn't give up and he doesn't quit for anything. I learned a lot. You know, he was a champion wrestler, so I learned a lot about different takedowns and things of that sort. So it's really helped out my game. It's really improved things for me.
Now, Kelsey, you'll be making your professional debut on TFA 10, and you had a couple of amateur fights, but your opponent, as I said, is 1-1, but you had some more experiences back when you were in the service. Can you explain to a little bit of your background?
A little bit about my background. While I was in the Marines, I was a martial arts instructor trainer, which was pretty cool. We did a lot of different types of martial arts. My experience, I'm used to working out with guys that are twice my size. So I'm definitely used to being the underdog. So I think that affects the way that I fight a little bit differently.
Do you feel like the underdog coming into this fight?
Kind of. I'm super excited about that, actually, though. Like, you know, whenever you're at the top level, you always got something to lose. Like, I don't have anything to lose. I have all the world to gain. So that's kind of how I see it.
Now, what can you tell us about your opponent? She's coming out of a TKO victory back in April of 2012. So she's been out of submission here for a while. But you think this could hurt her, the fact that she hasn't been in action since April, and an advantage to you?
Honestly, I don't see it that way because I don't really see, you know, I respect everyone that even gets in the cage. Regardless of how long it's been or whatever it is, if it's an advantage or it's not, I don't think of those terms because the way that I am is I get in there with everything that I got and I expect my opponent to get in there with everything that she's got. So I don't know what, you know, what she's worked on since now and then, but I'm expecting one of the hardest fights of my life. Or the hardest fight yet, so.
Guillermo?
Yeah, Kelsey, you had a very successful amateur career with Operation Octagon. That's a military MMA organization, is that right?
No. Operation Octagon is a promotion company in Virginia. They're not military from what I know, but they have Quantico's up there, and you got a lot of military bases up there, so a lot of guys fight in their promotion.
I see, yeah, just interesting that they use that sort of name to make it look that way. It says here that you haven't really fought in a while. Do you think that that'll have an effect on this fight coming up?
No, absolutely not. Just because I haven't fought in a while doesn't mean I've been training, haven't been training, you know? If anything, I feel that much better. I feel like I get better every day. So I guess the effect would be positive, you know, whether I haven't fought in a year, a few months, whatever it is, I've still been training, and I feel like I'm getting better and stronger every day.
And Kelsey, now, are you sick and tired already of people telling you, hey, were you the girl who asked about Justin Timberlake? Because we want to know. Everybody's been asking, did they all that just to, are you already bored of people asking you that?
Oh, bored of it? No, I mean, I never get bored of it. It was a really cool event, and it was a lot of fun, and it was good to see that he followed through with, you know, coming to the Marine Corps Ball and supporting our troops and supporting our service members, men and women, just like I feel like everyone else that, you know, lives in this country and has the freedoms that we have should be thankful for and, you know, do their part as well. So he did his, and I think it's cool. I think it's a cool story to talk about. I love talking about it. It was a fun event.
So I'm going to ask you, have you called him out to be there in your first professional mixed martial arts fight?
Oh, no.
Have you thought about it?
I mean, it's not something that I would never just, you know, hey, can you come here? Can you come there? He's a really busy guy. He's got a schedule to keep. So, you know, if I happen to make my career bigger than, you know, maybe if I go to the UFC or something like that, maybe different people will start showing up to the UFC events. I don't know. But that's kind of all where, you know, women's MMA goes in general in the future. So.
Gotcha. Well, Kelsey, tomorrow, as we know, is Valentine's Day, so. What are you planning? What are your plans? You've been asking here some of our guests here. What are your plans for tomorrow night and Valentine's Day? And will you be watching your weight and staying away from the chocolates?
Oh, yeah. Definitely not having any awesome chocolate like I would be. But my plan for tomorrow, I'm just training. Like I've been doing, my weight's actually on point. I'm super excited about it. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling strong. And I just got training to do tomorrow. So those are my plans.
Now, what has been the weirdest Valentine's Day that you've been on?
The weirdest Valentine's Day?
The weirdest Valentine's Day, the weirdest way they've ever asked you out for a Valentine's date.
Honestly, I don't get asked out that much. I have a boyfriend right now, and before then, I guess I hadn't really got asked out that much. But I always liked it in, like, elementary school when Valentine's Day came around and then someone would leave you, like, a little sucker with, you know, to so-and-so, to Kelsey from, like, Johnny or whatever. I thought that was really cute. And then it said something special, like, I really like you or something. I thought that was really cute.
I remember those.
I've never had anything too weird.
Yeah, I remember those. Remember the little Sesame Street ones or the Mickey Mouse ones? You have to cut them and you give them out in class. I remember that. You're taking me back.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. That was such a fun experience at school.
And then you have the little lollipops and all of that stuff. So some of them will be scammers, though. They'll sell them. They'll sell them around to guys, and those guys, you know, they'll make some money out of that, which is a smart way if you're into business at such a young age, right? Just sell that Valentine's candy while you're at it. But then again.
Yeah.
Well, Kelsey, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. Really appreciate speaking to us. And good luck on this CFA 10 tournament coming up. 20 grand. If you win this 20 grand, do you have any plans on what you're going to do with it?
Honestly, I don't even have any plans for it because my fight, I have to focus on the fight coming up on March 2nd. So I'll plan it if and when I actually get to that point. I focus on what's ahead of me, and that's to win this fight, because if I win this fight, then I don't move on. So that's where I'm at. That's where I focus on.
Awesome. Well, Kelsey, thank you so very much, and good luck coming up on March 2nd. We'll see you there live, CFA 10. Don't miss it, folks. Thanks so much. Anything else you'd like to add, Kelsey, before we let you go?
If you want, just follow me on Twitter, underscore Kelsey, K-E-L-S, and then a B. And you guys can check out my sponsors and everything like that, Ranger Up, and some things that we're doing with student veterans and veterans in general about how to support your troops and support those who have served our country.
Will you have any veterans there in the house that will be watching your fight live?
Yeah, I actually have some veterans from my student veteran organization that will be at the fight supporting me, so I'm super excited about that. And I have some good veteran friends all over that'll be tuning in to watch it.
Great. Well, Kelsey, thanks so much. And again, good luck at CFA 10, the inaugural women's tournament that starts up March 2nd. Thanks so much, Kelsey, and we'll see you live in just a few.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Have a good night. Well,
there
you go, Guillermo. Thank you. There you go, Guillermo. Kelsey DeSanti will be competing in the CFA women's tournament March 2nd. Well, Guillermo, we've had a lot of guests today, man, and we're a little tired. My coffee just pretty much is done. I think I need some more. Any final thoughts before we finish off the show?
No, it's just great having Kelsey on the show. She joins a long list of great mixed martial artists who are also in the military, like Brian Stan, Liz Carmouche, who's fighting for a title soon. And it's great to see that, you know, the military, which has long embraced boxing and wrestling as martial arts that they like to take part in, that they're now embracing MMA as a way of defense, not only in battle, but in life. So it's great to see that evolving.
Yeah, very good stuff. And don't forget, guys, you got Bellator tomorrow. You got the UFC on Saturday. It starts early at 2 p.m.
2 p.m.?
Yeah, because it starts early. There's a time change. So you get a little afternoon MMA. But, yeah, I kind of like the afternoon MMA. I don't know about you, Guillermo, because you know, if you're going to have a beer, if you're going to have a drink, you can just hang tight, relax, you know, you're home. And then if you want to go out later on at night, you can do so. But the Fuel TV show starts at 3 p.m. and the Facebook fights start at 12:15 p.m. Eastern time. So enjoy that. You got Barra versus McDonald for the interim bantamweight title. Poirier versus Swanson. Bebet versus Manali. Santiago versus Nelson. Gimo versus Tijuana. And Riddle versus Mills should be a fight. Fun fight card. And with that said, man, follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. Visit the website, RodolphRoman.com. If you missed the show, don't worry about it. You can listen to us on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and anywhere else, man. We're also on Blog Talk Radio, featured show. Thank you so very much for supporting the show, showing us love, because we see it with everything, all the numbers that we see, it's just going through the roof. We really, really appreciate the support. With that said, good night, guys. We'll see you next Wednesday, right here, right now. Enjoy your Valentine's Day.
Just don't eat too much chocolate. Thanks. Good night.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.